If you would take your Bibles and open them, please, to Mark chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 20. We looked at this before Easter, part of it, and we'll finish it up today. The parable of the sower, it says in most of your text, if you have the little headings in there. Mark 4. Beginning in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We come praying that you would open our hearts. Speak to us through your word. Lord, let us hear your voice. We long to hear a word from you this day. And Lord, we pray that you would use this word, not the words of the preacher, but words inspired by the power of your Holy Spirit to touch hearts and lives. Lord, may we indeed hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Listen. That's the way Jesus begins this parable. The parable itself is marked off, it's bracketed by admonitions to hear. You see there in verse 3, Jesus says, "Listen." It's emphatic, by the way. Verse 9, he says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." This shows us that the main theme of this discourse, there's an emphasis on hearing, on listening. And Jesus will go on to explain what happens in each type of soil when the seed, the logos, the word is heard. This concentration on hearing, the response when the word is heard, separates the insiders from the outsiders, a theme we've kind of looked at in some of these early chapters of Mark. Jesus really never gave lessons as such on how to speak, but he said quite a lot about how to hear. This parable has been known for years and years as the parable of the sower. But the sower himself is of little consequence in the story. Jesus hardly mentions the sower in the interpretation. The title in the German text, it's called The Parable of the Four Kinds of Soil. I think that's a much more appropriate title. And it is these four responses to the word that addressed what was probably a concern for the disciples. That is, why is the message of the coming of the kingdom of God getting such a mixed reception? It was a question that was relevant to the ministry of Jesus. It was a question that was relevant to the later ministry of the gospel through the disciples. It's a question that's relevant today to our own ministry, to the evangelistic efforts we might make. Why does the pronouncement of the gospel, why do our own efforts in witnessing to those in the world, why do they produce such varied results? Why are there so many different results from what we do? So it was that Jesus told those gathered by the Sea of Galilee a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow. I know the NIV uses the word farmer, and that's okay for the parable, but when we come to Jesus' explanation of the parable, we see that the sower is sowing the word. That wouldn't be restricted to just farmers, even though that's the illustration. But you can sow the word without ever setting foot on a farm. So as the sower sows the seed falls on four different kinds of soil. Some falls on the path where the dirt is as hard as concrete from all the foot traffic, all the people walking back and forth. Excuse me. Some falls on rocky ground where the soil is not very deep at all. And some falls in a place where the soil is pretty good, but it's a place that's filled with weeds and thorns. Some of the seed, however, falls on good soil and brought forth a good crop, 30, 60, even 100 times more than what was sown. So Jesus says, if you have ears that work, you should hear. Listen to what this little story has to say. And the stress here is definitely on the human responsibility of those who hear. Now, we looked in the first part of the sermon before Easter at Jesus' explanation of why, from this time forward, he never taught the crowds except in parables, there in verses 10 through 12. But notice he says here, he even says here in verse 13 to the disciples, if you can't understand this parable, how are you going to be able to understand any parable? He seems to imply that this may be one of the simpler parables to understand. If you can't understand this one, how will you ever understand other things that I might tell you? And we see from Jesus' explanation that really understanding in this parable what the seed and the soils represent is the key to understanding this parable. The sower is not identified, and the seed is only briefly identified as the word. And notice too that the sower doesn't decide in advance whether the soil has any potential or not. He doesn't decide whether it's a waste of time or not. We could say there's really no attempt to target only certain people or certain types of soil. The word is sown in all kind of places, to all kinds of people. The most important fact, really, on any day in history, even on the darkest days of human history, is that somewhere a sower went out to sow the word of the Lord. And so the word being sown, the emphasis of the parable, is on the effects on the different types of soil. And we could classify the people represented by these different soils as unresponsive or impulsive or preoccupied, and some are responsive. So let's look at these responses in turn as Jesus gives them to us. And I think as we look at this parable from the perspective of the soils, we will see the responsibility for what kind of soil we are, fruitful or unfruitful. You know, some people are unresponsive, for as soon as they hear the word, Satan snatches it away. There are tough places to sow the word. There's some hard ground out there to work. You know, there's a green marble plaque in Westminster Abbey in London in memory of Samuel Barnett, who worked for years and years the hard ground of the East London slums. And on the tablet, there's a figure of a sower walking through a field, scattering the seeds. And underneath this picture is these words: "Fear not to sow on account of the birds." The birds, Jesus said, are Satan, who, although he is bound, is still a danger to those who hear indifferently. The hard exterior of smug self-satisfaction leaves the truth of the word, you know, lying there, and Satan just snatches it away. Their resistance to anything proceeding from God makes easy picking for the enemy. And so those represented by the hard ground are unresponsive to the call of the gospel. And please notice one thing, though. Even this hard ground, the worst type of soil, is said to hear. The difference is not in the hearing, but how you hear. The seed fails to penetrate, and all is lost. The failure is immediate and complete. By contrast, we have the seed in the rocky ground that springs up immediately. And this second response is a lot more promising. Indeed, it's enthusiastic, but it proves to be short-lived. The seed in the rocky ground receives the word joyfully, but the rocky layer under the very thin layer of soil doesn't allow the roots to sink deep into the soil. Therefore, when the good times are over, when the times of pressure and persecution, tribulation, and opposition come, the plant shrivels up. These hearers fall away. The Greek word there that's used literally can be transliterated as scandalized. They become scandalized. They become ashamed of the gospel, of their profession. When the threat comes, when they're threatened with the slightest challenge or criticism of their faith, they just wilt. And we see this in the ministry of Jesus. There's great excitement. There are huge crowds following Jesus. We'll see in the feeding of the 5,000 before too long. That's 5,000 men that are there, plus their wives, children. There's a huge crowd of people. There are people flocking to hear Jesus. But after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, when the opposition to Jesus arose from the leaders, the crowd gets really small. After the resurrection, it's down to about 120 people. The rest had no root. We saw a similar thing in the revivalism of the past century. There were huge crowds filling football stadiums, thousands of people walking the aisles to proclaim faith in Christ. Where'd they all go? Where are they? Many were excited and enthusiastic, impulsively responding to the invitation. But it seems many of them had no root. The pressure of the social and the cultural and even the religious environment caused them to wilt. And you know, I think that's a particular danger for our present rootless generation. They're cut off from any recognition of absolute truth, and they're self-absorbed. They seek their 5 minutes of fame on TikTok or Facebook or whatever. It's about themselves. They have no root, really. And there's only one really effectual cure for this thin, rocky soil. It's the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith." That's where your root has to be. The rocky ground serves as a warning that one's faith must run deep. Your faith must be deep if you're going to endure the coming trials and pressures and tribulations that are just part of this life. Especially part of the life of those who follow Christ. You got to have deep roots to withstand much of that. The third type of soil is the preoccupied soil. It represents discipleship that survives but is unproductive. The plants are choked out by the thorns and the weeds. Fruitful discipleship is contrasted with the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things. And the danger here is posed when these kind of concerns take priority over and choke out the concerns for the kingdom of God. This life that is choked, that's strangled, is one in which the Word of God is not the great priority. The Lord says we are to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, when we concentrate on many things, we really concentrate on nothing. And our world today bombards us with all kinds of concerns. Comes into our lives, into our living rooms, into our cars, into our phones. All the troubles and concerns of the world come piling in on us. The TV, the radio, the internet, social media scream at us constantly. What C.S. Lewis called the cataract of nonsense that pours forth from the media. Soul was in great danger of being choked out under an avalanche of distractions. You know, the worries of our time keep up a constant drumbeat that drowns out the Word of God. The danger here is not things. The danger is not the possession of wealth itself, but rather the mental attitude, which it engenders, it chokes out allegiance to Christ. we don't need to put the blame on what we possess. We don't need to put the blame on God's blessings to us, but rather on our own corrupt mind. You know, it's possible to be rich and not be deceived. It's possible to live in the world and not be choked out with the cares and the desires for other things. The problem arises when we doubt. When we doubt that a life in Christ can be full and rich enough to make up for the loss of other things that we might have to accept as Christians. Things that choke out the word with their glitter and their glitz, and their appeal. Can we say, can you say, with Paul, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything. That's hard to say. But in contrast to the bad soils, the good soil hears rightly. The good hearer welcomes the word immediately and holds it close where it can't be snatched away by Satan. And those who hear well welcome the word deeply within them, so it doesn't wither under criticism or ridicule or persecution. You know, the good hearer welcomes it exclusively so that other distractions and concerns don't choke it out. It's interesting to notice that we have three kinds of bad soil here and only one kind of good soil. But the good soil produces three different results. All good, but varying in degree. You know, I think Jesus' primary purpose here seems to be warning about the habits which render the hearing of the word ineffective and unprofitable. And although the bulk of the focus here is on the three bad soils and the bad results, we shouldn't miss the positive climax of the parable. Some of the seed falls on good soil, and it produces abundant fruit. We see this graphically demonstrated in Jesus' ministry. Despite the opposition, despite the frustrations and the disappointments, he went on sowing, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. You know, along with the focus of the parable on the responsibility of hearing, there's also the encouragement. Encouragement for us of a sure and certain harvest of the good soil. And I think we should hear a couple of things today from this parable. The preaching of the word. Our personal witness of the word. A word we may say to someone who is lost may not be received well. But the power of the seed to bring forth good fruit doesn't belong to the sower. You should not be discouraged by apparent failures. If some prove to be as hard as concrete, as unresponsive and shallow as the rocky soil, or uninterested because they're choked by the cares of the world, that's God's business. That's not your business. That's God's business. We must continue to sow. Our diligence in sowing the word must not be guided by our failures or successes. We must be faithful in sowing because some seed will fall on good ground and bring forth a harvest. But we must also apply this parable to our own responsibility to receive the word as good soil. We need to test the soil of our heart. Sometimes our own soil can be like the hard soil on the path. Nothing really sinks in. Sometimes we're unmoved by the word. Sometimes we're in danger of becoming like the rocky soil without deep roots. At the least sign of criticism or opposition, we back off. We fail to stand for God's truth. You know, we had a small taste of an authoritarian government during this COVID crisis. But what if you were subject to arrest every Sunday if you came to church? That happens in many parts of the world today. What would you do? Someone said it takes courage to stand and be counted. But it takes more courage to keep standing after you've been counted on the side of Christ. Of course, the third danger is materialism, and that's where we live in this country. The cares of the world, which choke out faith and make it unproductive. The soil is rich enough to produce a crop, but there are so many other things grow up, crowd out the seed of the word, that there's no fruit. The parable identifies what makes the bad soil bad. Hardened hearts, hardened unresponsiveness, impulsive shallowness, preoccupied love of other things. But the parable doesn't tell us what makes the good soil productive. Jesus doesn't tell us the precise formula for success, only to be careful how we hear, to listen to Him and not the world. You know, for Mark's original hearers and for us, the task of sowing continues, and the results and the reasons behind them, the different kinds of soil, haven't changed one bit since Jesus told this parable. But sowers are not called to be successful. They're called to be faithful. As faithful sowers, we must always be presenting the gospel. And pray that would be said of us in some way. Every day, a sower went out to sow. There in your bulletin, I put this little quote from Alexander Duff. It's really a paraphrase. He says, why share the gospel? To announce to those millions who are still enslaved in sin, the hard soil, the rocky soil, the weed-choked soil, and exposed to eternal misery, that to restore and save them, the Son of God Himself came down from heaven to proclaim liberty to the captives and shed His precious blood for their ransom. It's to beseech them to renounce their pseudo-religious practices, their soul-deceiving works of merit, and flee for refuge to the atoning sacrifice and justifying righteousness of the divine Redeemer. That's the seed that we need to be out sowing every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, help us first to test the soil of our own heart. Prepare it. May it be good soil in which the word would take root and grow and bear fruit. Lord, as we read from the Old Testament, blessed is the one who trusts in the word, who looks to You and Your word. Be like a tree transplanted by the rivers of water that never fails to bear fruit. Lord, may that be said of us. May it be said of Your church, Your people. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, we see a world around us, truly there is a lot of hard ground out there to work. There's a lot of impulsive ground and a lot of good response in the good times, and lack of faith in times of persecution, hard times. And Lord, we live in a place where the cares of the world multiply every day, it seems. Choke out the word. Choke out the love of Christ and your church. Lord, how much we have to do. But Lord, may it be said of us that every day, in some way, the sower went out to sow. And Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. You're the one who brings forth the harvest. Lord, how we pray that you would indeed find some of this seed to fall on good soil, bring forth a crop 30, 60, even 100 times or so. For your glory and honor, we pray it all. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.